Following is the audio from the Belfast City Council meeting of April 7th, 2020, held by electronic means and broadcast on WBFY. The portion of the meeting that you will hear ran from approximately 7:30 till 10 o'clock.
Community Radio, Belfast Community Radio, WBFY 100.9. Regular Council meeting number 19, call to order.
Mayor Eric Sanders.
Present.
Mary
yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Neil Harkness.
Here.
Brenda Bonneville.
Here.
Michael Hurley.
Here.
Paul Dean.
Present.
City Manager Aaron Herbig.
Here.
And Admin Assistant Amanda Cushman. Here.
All right, thank you. We're now going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll stand. You guys can do what you want to at home. I'll try to get the computer right there on the flag for you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much.
I took a knee.
And welcome any citizens watching tonight, of course, or listening on the radio or on computer. Adoption of the agenda. Mike?
Make a motion. We adopt the agenda, and I have two additional items. Prior to... Can I read them?
Yeah.
Okay. First addition to the agenda, and we can put it wherever the manager would like. Discussion on setting up a fund to assist Belfast citizens and businesses to offset the COVID-19 impacts. That's one. And two is discussion on setting each Tuesday for workshops, special or regular meetings until the policy is changed. We can talk about what that means when we get there.
Okay, so general discussion, possible action on that, and general discussion, possible action on the other one.
Yeah.
Any other requests for amendments to the agenda?
Nope.
Didn't have any, I didn't see any earlier. So that's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I've got a motion and a second. All those in favor, excuse me, Ward 1. Ward 2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Yes.
Ward 4?
Yes.
Thank you. Ward 5?
Yes.
Thank you. And guys, I guess I'll leave it up to you guys. If you want to do this with hands, I'm good with it. Whatever you guys think, we'll
figure that out. I think people are supposed to be able to hear us.
There are people listening on the radio. Let's let them hear.
Okay, so we'll do it. We'll do ward by ward. Thank you. All right, so
where are those going? Yeah.
Yes.
I could see, I know Jerry is here and Brent is here. I could see after F or after Thomas, but Wayne is here for K.
K1
and 2?
Yeah, after K. Okay, so K, after K, we'll do K1 and 2. Saying no dissent, we'll go with that. Okay?
Okay.
Yep. All right. So we have a motion, and it's been approved. So the agenda is set. Now I'm looking for acceptance of the minutes, regular council meeting, that was March 17th, 2020, and special city council meeting of April 2020. I need a motion.
Move to accept.
Okay, I got a motion to move. Can I get a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion?
Just a quick discussion. You know, on things like this, couldn't the mayor actually just call the vote, like 5 all in favor, and if it requires a call out rather than doing each one of us on everything. We're going to do a lot of these meetings. We ought to look for ways to expedite them.
Right, but we're also being broadcast live on the radio where they can't see us.
So. Right, but then you could say, like a motion like this, all in favor, and all five in favor. You just call it out like that. But either way, fine by me. Here we go.
Ward one, or Neil?
I think Mike has a point. I think on those kind of routine items, I think if the mayor just says, seeing no objection,
okay,
I think that would be okay.
Is the group comfortable with that?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Seeing no objection, it would appear to be all five are in support of it. Okay. So it passes 5-0. Item 6A, open to the public, and I will read this, and then I have one email to read for the public. Members of the public who wish to submit announcements, questions, or comment for the City Council can email public@cityofbelfast.org. We encourage that emails be sent prior to the date and time of the meeting, but public comment will be accepted during the duration of the meeting. This is an opportunity for the council to listen but not respond in any kind of question and answer format. The council will reflect on your comments and consider them for possible action at a later date. So I will read the one email that we have for open to the public. And I believe Aaron might later on be able to answer some of the questions that are brought up in the email. This is from Callie Latrides. She's on our Parks and Rec Commission, I believe. And the date is Sunday. The email was Sunday at 5:29. To the public hearing, enjoyed the April 1st, 2020 City Council meeting with input from all city councilors, the mayor, and the city manager. While the city manager mentioned the leadership shown by the city councilors and mayor, and several mentioned that, quote, we're doing everything we can, end of quote, it would be helpful, I believe, if more specifics were provided, especially for those without income during these trying times. For instance, rather than saying, quote, we don't want people to litter and put household waste in public waste receptacles, end of quote, perhaps the city can remove the fee during this crisis so Belfast residents have a safe and sanitary place to dispose of such. Also, for people who need food, what are the food banks doing? Will they be open for those who are desperate for food with no money to go to stores and purchase such? Is there an organized way to connect farmers with food banks and or soup kitchens? Other than going to Neil's lending library at the end of Pearl Street for rice and beans, there was no mention of food for those who need it. Please stress the general assistance program person at City Hall who can help with food and other necessary items, example, medications, and also explain what the Ring of Caring is and how they can help Belfast residents. And I agree with Mr. Hurley's comments regarding the public restrooms. We need those open to Belfast residents. How to do such will need much discussion and planning, but it seems many residents depend on these amenities. Thank you, Callie Latrides, Belfast. So that would be Callie speaking to open to the public, so we won't respond at this point. I am going to ask Erin at this point if she could just respond to some of these that I know that we've already made decisions on for the council.
Yeah. Callie, thank you for... Callie? Thank you for reaching out. First of all, when it comes to our food banks, a really good resource is gsfb.org, which is the Good Shepherd Food Bank. As you know, we have a number of food pantries in Belfast who are all up and operating, who are sort of changing day to day with the services that they're delivering, kind of like all of us, to make sure that we're getting that to as many people as possible. So goodshepherdfoodbank.org is a good place to check on all of those. I know that the Greater Belfast Ministerium is 218-1213 for the phone number there as well as the Belfast Soup Kitchen is still in operation. I also know No Greater Love Food Pantry is still providing services at the VFW, but definitely check out goodshepherdfoodbank.org. As far as our general assistance program, Jody Stout does a wonderful job for the city of Belfast. She is continuing to provide that service constantly. You are always welcome to call the City of Belfast at 338-3370, extension 120. In addition to general assistance, we've also teamed up with the Ring of Caring, which means that we are, you can call that number if you are someone who is homebound and of a vulnerable population, and we can work to get you groceries, prescriptions, necessary home items. We've had a number of people who are taking advantage of that service or to refer someone to this service, and we're happy to do that every day for anybody that needs it. And then lastly, about the public restrooms, it was because it's a lot of plastic and metal, we looked into trying to clean them more often, and it was going to be like $3,000 additional a month to keep them safe for the public. So what we decided instead is that we placed a porta potty at the footbridge that will be cleaned very frequently and is more deeply sanitized to keep the public safe. So that is at the footbridge that was installed last week. There is also a porta potty at the head of the rail trail and one in Wales Park. So those services are still available to you all, but just wanted to give you a little update, and thanks for asking good questions.
Thank you, Erin. Just have to adjust my mic. Sorry. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for those answers. At this time, that was the only open to the public, so we will move on at this point to organization and department reports. So I have at this point a communication to read from our public health nurse, Susan Dupler, and this came in today, so I'll be reading it to the council and the public. We now have 519 COVID-19 cases in Maine and have had 12 deaths in Maine, 5 confirmed cases in Waldo County. So if you are sick, stay home. Just a brief review. Signs and symptoms of COVID-19 are as follows: fever, cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing. You may also have a sore throat, runny nose, muscle aches, tiredness. Some have experienced loss of smell or taste. The symptoms can range from very mild to very severe. Some people may have no symptoms. We are worried about everyone in this community, but especially concerned for people that are older adults, those that have existing chronic medical conditions, such as heart disease, lung disease, or diabetes, or who have compromised immune systems. COVID-19 is spread by, 1, people who are in close contact with one another, less than 6 feet. 2, through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs, sneezes, or talks. 3, by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it, and then touching your nose, mouth, or possibly your eyes. This virus is spread easily. So how do you protect yourself? Well, you understand how it spreads, and which we just went over. You wash your hands. This is the best way. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially after you have been in a public place or after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. If soap and water are not available, use hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol in it. Cover all areas on your hand, rub them together until they feel dry. Avoid touching your face, eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Cover your nose, cover your cough, or sneeze. The CDC recommends wearing cloth face coverings, face masks, in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult. They advise the use of a simple cloth mask to slow the spread of the virus, that a significant number of individuals with coronavirus lack symptoms, and that even those who eventually develop symptoms can transmit the virus to others before showing symptoms. This means that the virus can spread between people interacting in close proximity, speaking, coughing, or sneezing, even if those people are not showing symptoms. Now, these cloth masks should not be placed on children less than 2 years old. These cloth face masks should be washed routinely, depending on the frequency of use. Washing in a washing machine should be okay. When removing a mask, please be careful not to touch your eyes, nose, or Mel? For those that are at risk and need help, here are some organizations that are available. The Ring of Caring, spoken of just a moment ago. And that's the City of Belfast, managed by Jody Stout. The number 338-3370, extension 120. Network of volunteers that will help. Aging Well in Waldo County and the Triad of Waldo County. That number is toll-free 1-866-426-7555. Mainers Together, that phone number, 207-797-0967. And I presume we can probably get this on the City of Belfast website as well, if it's not there at the moment, after tonight's meeting. If individuals and communities take steps to slow the spread of this virus by what they call flattening the curve, it will give health workers, area health workers, the opportunity to take care of the sick. And this is why the governor and City of Belfast have issued an order to shelter into place, that is to stay home and only go out for essential business. Please be safe. Susan Dupler, our public health nurse. So I read that under an organization report.
Thank you.
Were there any other organization or department reports that need to be presented at this time? Seeing none, I will move on to communications. And I will open it up. I see Brenda's hand first. Brenda Bonneville, good evening. Thank you.
So, pardon me for reading. I wrote some thoughts down that I'd like to share with everybody this evening. First of all, I would like to say thank you to the businesses, the downtown businesses that are complying with the ordinances that are put into place and staying closed until further notice. From my perspective, it seems that for the most part that the downtown businesses are united in the efforts to make sure that not only customers, employees, and owners stay healthy and safe, but that the community at large also stays healthy and safe as well. This disease, as we've talked about already this evening, and as we all know, is highly transmissible. And according to all of the expert information we have, the only real way to flatten the curve is to stay at home. When the governor issued her order for the state of Maine, she expressed that although she's issuing a mandate, we don't live in a police state. And I'm sure that most of us would agree that we would never want it to get to that point. However, in order to try our best to slow down the spread of the coronavirus, we need to perhaps do a better job of policing ourselves. The City of Belfast is using the orders given by the governor as a guideline of how we conduct business. And in doing so, we're encouraging businesses that are not identified as essential, as hard as that is, to remain closed until it is safe to reopen. And it's true that there seems to be a clear definition of what is essential. However, there's not as clear a definition as what is non-essential in terms of business and service. So this opens up a gray area and can be subject to interpretation. There's a point I'd like to make. A few days ago, there was some confusion. So I'd like to take this opportunity to say that the city government, that is the city manager, the mayor, and the city councilors never gave any official notice to any downtown business that they could remain open. So there was no, I heard some talk about, sounded like an official edict from city government, and that did not happen. So I'd like just the public to be aware that that was not the case, and I will move on. Also, I would like to remind visitors coming to Maine and those who don't live in the area full time that we are following a self-quarantine 14-day order. And I'm mentioning this because I personally have seen an uptick in my neighborhood of people coming back, possibly a little bit earlier than they might have come back to their summer residences. I've also gotten some emails and phone calls from other community members who have noticed the same thing. And people feel nervous, and they want the summer residents or part-time residents to know that, of course, they're welcome to come to their homes and their places where they live here in Belfast and enjoy all the things that we do. I think we all just want to make it clear to those people who might not have read online at the city's website or heard via Facebook or what have you, that it's very important that when they're coming back from other areas, perhaps more densely populated areas, for example, that they really are mindful to take the 14-day self-quarantine seriously and really follow those rules, because we've all been doing it for a while now, and we'd like to just make sure that we don't see some kind of upswing in any, you know, any more spread. And we're trying to just keep things as low that curve is as possible. And then I would like to close by saying to the community this, please reach out if you need help. Please offer your help to other people if you can. Please try to practice kindness and patience. Emotions and stress levels are high these days. But again, the measures and the guidelines that we're following in Belfast and other towns in Maine and this whole state have been put in place for excellent reasons. And we're trying to flatten the curve. We're trying to stop the virus from spreading. And we really want to make sure too that our healthcare system is not bombarded and that they have as much space as they can just in order to deal with all that is happening and that's coming. So please be well, everybody. Stay healthy, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Brenda. Neil, good evening.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out an article in the Bangor Daily News today, just saw a couple hours ago, that a resident and a caregiver at Tall Pines have tested positive. And so I just want to let the people involved there know that, you know, our thoughts are with them and with all the people in the situation at the hospital and elsewhere, all the people giving caregivers throughout the community. And also, I took advantage this morning of the 6 a.m. shopping at Hannaford, and I want to commend the great job they're doing there. They've got it really down to a nice system, and I think people can feel, from my layman's point of view, confident that they're going into a clean, safe area. And I also stopped to pick up a couple of items at the co-op. And I was very, first time I've been in the co-op since they instituted their new procedures, and I was very impressed with the measures they have taken to keep things good there. So people are really stepping up and really appreciate it. And I really want the people, especially I kept thinking about the people who work in these stores, these clerks and stock people. I overheard two young women were stocking the dairy case at Hannaford this morning. And as I went by, I overheard a snippet of their conversation. And the one young woman said to the other, "Someday we're going to look back on when we were essential." And I want those people to know that we think they're essential every single day. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Anybody else? Aaron, and then Mike.
This is a sort of a housekeeping matter, just because normally at the end of the meeting, we will sign our council orders. But because we are all in different locations, I know that in normal practice, it has been the person that makes the motion will sign the order. That is not necessary. That is just what we've done. But so what I'm looking for is if there might be one council member who might be willing to come to City Hall tomorrow, that we can give the orders to who can sign, for this meeting.
Is that?
Brenda?
I can do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the other thing I just wanted to, so thank you, Brenda. And then the other thing that I just wanted to say is just to thank the public. for their cooperation. We've really had to modify how we deliver city services over the last couple weeks, and we'll have to continue to do that for the next month. And we just appreciate so much that the public has worked with us to communicate over the phone or through email. We just appreciate your patience and cooperation as we've had to adapt to this rapidly changing world. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you to all the City of Belfast employees who are, still going through stress in their lives with all of this and continuing to come to work every day to provide these services for people. So we've got some wonderful people that work for the city who are still working hard. And then just to thank the council and the mayor for just being so supportive of us to provide these services for our citizens and being creative to be there for everyone. I think that people forget that this is still very much a volunteer position. You sit on the council as the mayor, and your council mayor works so hard for people right now to answer questions and to continue to provide service. And I just feel really thankful to all of you right now. So thank you.
I just want to point out that actually Aaron said I heard like three times.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys have got to work out this sound situation.
Yeah, Aaron, it was picking up, recording, and then playing it back on Eric's, and then picking it up again off yours, and then picking it up. So it was just like a tumbling, very almost impossible to hear what you were saying.
Not quite, but thank you. So thank you. I heard you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for the comments. Mike, you had your hand up.
A couple of quick things. First off, anybody who's watching at home, they can see my email right up here. If they need help in any way for that, a city, you know, I would even go walk your dog if you needed it. But I'm actually thinking if you need help as a city councilor, reach out anytime. A couple of things which we, Aaron, you gave us an update on a number of things which are not on the agenda, but we talked. One thing was about the, you know, there's people who are now, people are sending me photographs of Belfast people who are dumping their stuff in people's dumpsters. These are private dumpsters. They're not on city property. You know, it's not actually our job to keep somebody's garbage out of somebody else's dumpster. If they want to file a complaint, they're happy to do. We're happy. That's something to take up with the police or lock their dumpster. But, you know, then we also had people dumping their garbage in all the city garbage cans. And some towns have suspended all bag fees. I would consider that. I think, I don't know how much that would be. It would be a good number to know. It's something that we could talk about doing so that people who are really, truly broke and not just cheap could get a way to get rid of their without feeling like, you know, they didn't want to spend their $7 or $6 as we're down to $3. I don't know if we can talk about that outside of the meeting with councilors could talk about it. The other one was, you know, I noticed I personally used this bacteria spray to kill all the tree right out in front of City Hall by the granite bench was completely covered in brown tail moths last year. I came down and sprayed it with a bacteria, does a real good job on them. What I didn't notice is there's a tree just over our line right up against the courthouse, and it is covered with brown tail moths. I sent you a note. Did you happen to hear back from the county? It's on the county's land. But, you know, the idea that we're going to do this on every tree in Belfast is impossible. First off, they nest at the tops of trees, and in big trees, they can be, you know, 70 feet up in the air. But this one's low, and the county really should take care of it. This is a very public location there. You didn't hear back from the county by any chance, did you, Aaron? No.
She's not talking because of the reverb mic, but the answer is she's shaking her head no.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow up just talking to the county and see if they won't do that. Anyway, there you go. I guess the only thing I would say to everybody is, you know, we have been, people keep calling. I'm sure all of us are very similar. I get emails, I get Facebook messages, I get phone calls. So-and-so is open. Such and such location is having appears to be, there's 50 cars at this location, or I keep seeing this New York car parked in a weird place. You know, I feel like we've kind of turned into a culture of calling people out like on this, but I would say, you know, if it's a business or an organization doing something, and maybe Aaron, you can speak to this. The proper thing is for them, for somebody is noticing something, call the police. That's my suggestion. Right. You know, when they, instead of calling me, I don't mind them if they call me, I'm fine. But if I don't see it and I don't know what it is, it's hard for me to then call up and, you know, call the police for people. Could you speak about that? What we're supposed to do, what people are supposed to do if, you know, somebody's, you know, making them unhappy in some way about this.
Yeah. How does that sound? Does that sound okay?
Good.
Yes.
Sounds good.
So we are receiving a lot of complaints here at City Hall. Kind of all day, every day. I know that people are anxious and can't even imagine the stress of having your own business closed or your family just being so disruptive. I think that we're all dealing with that right now. I talk with our police chief several times every day. We've really been working with businesses in this community to make sure that they understand the order. I think there has been a lot of confusion or just lack of clarity. So we've been doing our best to get answers from state government. We have been working with business owners to figure out how they can continue to provide a service, but continue to follow the mandate. But Chief Lincoln and the Belfast PD have really been doing a good job to work with the community, to follow up with complaints, and to do what we can to really work together to make sure that we're all in this together and all following the executive order that was issued by the governor.
You know, lastly, thank you, Aaron. That's so we should tell them to call you or call the police. What do you think? Okay.
People are welcome to file complaints at City Hall or with the Belfast PD. Either way is totally appropriate. And again, we want people to feel safe and we want to make sure that everyone feels like, everyone is abiding by the order, and we're doing our best to be members of this community and make sure that everyone is participating appropriately.
Thank you. Lastly, you know, to anybody watching at home, you know, your government is represented by people just like you. You look at these people before you, every one of them is impacted intensely by this thing in one way or another. We're all in this together, and we are really not just talking about providing essential services, which the city is doing a great job at, but, you know, also trying to think creatively how to deal with this thing, this virus, and the impact it's having on all of us. So we're in this together, and we'll come through it together. So thank you all, and hold fast.
Thank you so much, man. Oh, yes, I have raised. Paul?
Yes. I wanted to bring up what constituents have said about raising concerns with still charging for trash disposal. I just wanted to remind people that we dropped the price from $3.50 down to $3 a bag to try to help out during these trying times. I wanted to take a moment to say I I had some extra money around the house, and I'm going to donate $100 towards 33 bags at the transfer station. I'll drop that money off tomorrow. It's a way of paying forward to help people in our community that need the help. My son lost his job 3 weeks ago as a chef down in Portland. And a lot of people that we know in and around town no longer have a viable job, or the small businesses now find that their doors are closed and they don't have money coming in. And so I do this donation, but I also like to ask others if they could also help. And anything you could give, or, you know, change that you don't want and put towards helping someone else would be, you know, a big help to everybody. I wanted to take a moment with this being said to ask Erin if she could talk for a moment about unemployment benefits and small business loans and what's been happening with that in the community. Erin, could you speak to that for a moment? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So people should consider the City of Belfast as a resource during this time to overcome these challenges. Thomas Kittredge, the City of Belfast Economic Development Director, has been working with business owners. We actually hop on a call with our town Belfast every Tuesday morning to answer questions. Thomas Kittredge is to serve as the point person to help with businesses apply for small business loans right now. There was a program that was passed by the federal government. It's called Payment Protection Program, or it's a loan program for businesses in which small businesses can apply for these loans. They can apply to it through their local bank. I think most banks in Belfast, I know KeyBank, Bangor Savings, and Camden National all are up and running and processing these already. But what it is to cover for small businesses payment to their employees, their rent, operating costs for 2 months while we're in this closure. So it's a great opportunity for small businesses. FAME, the Finance Authority of Maine, is also offering different loans having to do with the fact that we're in a state of emergency. So I would suggest that any business owner who has not already accessed these resources or has questions, contact Thomas Kittredge, which is economicdevelopment@cityofbelfast.org, or you can call him by calling the city at 338-3370. And then as far as unemployment goes, unemployment has been modified and expanded. First off, there isn't a 1 week waiting period to qualify. What has also happened from the federal government is that it has been opened up to include sole proprietors, so people that own their own businesses and maybe haven't collected a paycheck. What's going on in the state now is that was passed by the federal government, but the state is still trying to implement that and what the nuts and bolts of that look like. And I know that everyone feels anxious, and it's hard, and I would not ask anyone to be patient right now, because I understand the pressure that people are feeling. But the state is working on this. I would also pay attention that they have changed people in the first third of the alphabet should call on Mondays, the middle third of the alphabet should call on Tuesdays, and the final third of the alphabet should call on Wednesdays. And then Thursdays and Fridays are open call days to call in to have your questions answered. But the sole proprietor program hasn't started yet, so the Department of Labor is asking that people, sole proprietors, wait until they get that in place to apply. But I'm hoping that that happens by the end of the week. And really, folks should apply for unemployment. And if you have any questions with that process, feel free to call us at City Hall, and we can help you how we can to navigate that process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Erin. Mary, did you have any questions or comments?
I don't want to waste the time repeating things people have already said. We're running late enough.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple of updates, if that's all right, with the group very quickly to share. I jumped on, although we are no longer members of the Mayor's Coalition, I was copied on an email, so I hopped on the phone call yesterday with the Governor Mills, met with the mayors for half an hour, and some of the news that I got yesterday has already come to fruition today. I'm looking at Neil because of voting, but they're moving. The governor is looking to move
the primary, the elections from June to July 14th or thereabouts. She's not sure. She's focused entirely on today and tomorrow, but she said without a doubt that it looked like there would be a delay there. And she has the legislative authority to make that call, apparently, and both parties supported it. She talked about the test lab, the Abbott laboratories, and how she's looking proactively to see if Maine can get a hold of some of those kits early, because they are down in the area. So, and then she talked about absentee balloting and what that may look like. I think in 2016, she said she thought the absentee balloting was around 12%. And that it would probably be higher this time. So there's a whole lot of fluctuation around elections and things like that. She did point out, as Aaron did, independent operators and small business owners and unemployment. And now it's coming down the pike and everybody exercising patience. But the main thrust that I got, Aaron said it on the call too, the main thrust I got was she is focused on Maine right now with the virus and the health of the citizens. And she went as far as to say, near the end of the meeting, one of the mayors asked what we could do for her. She said, you can put up signs as you enter your town that non-essential, anybody who's non-essential crossing state travelers must quarantine for 14 days. She is a no-nonsense governor, at least on the call. That was my impression. And she is all about safety and keeping the virus down to a minimum. She also spoke of how Maine is ahead of the curve in many ways because we saw this coming from, say, New Jersey or Connecticut in comparison. They are hotspots now in New York City. It hasn't reached us as heavily yet, but she did speak of how it would be longer in coming here too, and that we will be a hotspot. What hotspot means for the state of Maine is up for definition now, and none of us know that. So she was really, I believe it was Brenda that brought up the point about people coming in from out of state need to self-quarantine for 14 days. And it's not a request. It was a tell, not an ask. So that was a highlight to that. I had the opportunity. I've been doing these Belfast TV shows with Ned Leitner on Thursdays. And I asked the superintendent of schools, Mary Alice McLean, if she would attend this coming Thursday and do an interview with Ned and myself to give the public some information on the schools and what's going on with the schools, with the kids, with the rest of the year, with graduation. So she'll be on that because that's a large portion of our community. And then on Friday, I think most of us know her, Dr. Heather Ward, down at Waldo County General Hospital, is going to call into this radio show that I've been doing with over at WBFY with Vic. And she's going to answer questions and talk about how our hospital is doing right now and what they're looking at and, you know, what needs, because I get a lot of, as I'm sure all of you do, a lot of comments and questions from the public. Is our hospital okay? Are the people okay? What can we do? Because we care very much about it. So those two things are happening and those will be out on social media and this stuff. But I think that somebody mentioned earlier and it's now Tuesday. And we've had a couple of Zoom meetings, and I know this one started off a little bit wonky, but that's what Zoom is like. You know, it's going to be that way. So I appreciate everybody's patience tonight. And people are, we are getting calls. People are a little bit starting to be a little bit frustrated with the lack of clarity on how long will we need to do this? How long will we be sheltering at home? And so that is why all of us on this call, the patience that we show and the patience that we have for each other and for the community for the next month or two will probably go a long way, I think. And Neil, I really appreciated your comments about the grocery store workers and things like that, because they clearly are real heroes. But I just wanted to share that about the upcoming stuff and the governor's call very quickly. That's all I had. So if there are no more, Mary.
Just quick, when you're speaking with Mary Alice on somewhere in Waldo County with NID on Thursday, could you please also add in there a question about the budget, current budget they're working on and how that's going and anything she might like to share?
I will certainly do that, yes.
Thank you.
All right, I see no more communications. We're going to move along. Old business and council committee reports, anything? seeing nothing. Going once, going twice. I'm going to move to permits, petitions, and licenses, consent agenda, Neil.
Neil's on mute.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda, and I'd like to just make a comment along with my motion. There's only one item on the consent agenda, and that is approval of the facilities use request for July 17th, 19th, 2020 for the Celtic celebration. And I realize it is to some extent aspirational. We're hoping that that will be good to go at that date, but I just seeing it on there gave me a sense of hope and optimism, and just reminded me that someday this will all be done and happier times will be here. So with that, I make the motion to accept the.
Is there a second? Thank you, Neil. I get a second from Brenda. I see no discussion. Can I get a nod of heads for everybody approving the consent agenda? I see everybody's head nodding. So it passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Paul, did you have? No, you didn't. Okay. We're ready to go with business. Item A, presentation from Director of Code and Planning, Wayne Marshall, on the second reading of proposed amendments to City Code of Ordinances regarding the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District. Good evening, Wayne. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. This is Wayne Marshall, the Director of Code and Planning, and I believe I'm the next up on the issues, and that issue is the question of looking at a proposed amendment to the Route 3 Commercial Zoning Ordinance. Everyone has a copy of the proposed amendments. The Council considered the first reading of these amendments at your meeting of March 17th. The amendments are now coming before you for second reading and public hearing. The amendments really have two main purposes. These are amendments that are also reviewed and recommended by the Belfast Planning Board. The first purpose of the amendment is to extend multifamily as an option. Multifamily housing is a development option for any property located in the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District. Route 3 Commercial Zoning District is that area on the map located behind me. It takes in the Stair Drive area where you have Hannaford. It comes in where you have Rennie's going up to where the Bear property is. And then it has this strip that goes beyond Crocker Road, from Crocker Road out to Perry's Furniture, directly across from where Edgecombe Road is. That's basically the bounds of the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District. It is the prime area in Belfast for where retail development is allowed. It is a zoning district where the boundaries were particularly established back in early 2000. At the time, the decision was not to allow multifamily housing because this was an area that was being reserved almost entirely for retail and or similar related developments. With some of the changes as to about where the community is, we think is appropriate. The Planning Board did, is the recommendation of the Council, to look at amending the zoning to allow multifamily as an option throughout the district. There probably aren't that many options as properties that where it could occur, but there are some where it could happen. If a multifamily were to be developed, the density standard for multifamily would be about 20 units of multifamily housing per acre ground if the property were on public sewer, and if it is on a subsurface wastewater disposal system, a septic system, the standard would be about 7 units per acre. The second main purpose of this district, proposed change, we'll turn it the other way, is for that area from Crocker Road, extending out to Perry's Furniture. Again, this is Edgecombe Road here, Route 3, this is Crocker Road. To date, this zone allows most this area of the Route 3 commercial zone allows most uses that are allowed in the Route 3 commercial district. But there are two particular uses that it doesn't allow. One is retail development. The second is sit-down restaurants. And there's a third minor one, which is looking at boat building, storage, and repair. The proposal of the planning board is to allow this area from Crocker Road, again out to Perry's Furniture, to be used for small-scale retail development. Clearly, Perry's Furniture has been there for quite a long time, and Perry's Furniture is not really subject to this amendment because they are already have a provision in the code that allows them to use the property for retail development and to expand the amount of the size of the retail store that could be constructed. So this proposal is, when you look from this area again, coming in here, that you would allow a retail store up to about 6,000 square feet in size, provided it met certain specific performance standards. Those performance standards talk about the way the building would have to look. Basically, it should look like a house or a barn. It should be one that has a little bit greater setback that apply, front setback than applies in other sections. The front setback would be about 70 feet, which happens to be pretty consistent with where the existing houses are in that area. It needs to have some additional landscaping in front from areas that are otherwise provided. And there are some limitations on the type of signage than what normally would be allowed in Route 3. The main limitations in this area is that it has to be a non-internally lit sign, and the sign can't be any greater than 48 square feet in size. This is one that the planning board debated quite a bit. It's one that where the board also, with the council subsequently adopting such, had made changes on the other side of Route 3, which is Office Park District, to allow retail in this small area coming in here, which includes the area just beyond the Hutchinson Center, a lot which Habitat for Humanity is looking at developing, as well as on the property adjacent to it, which is currently owned by Stag 4. The board, in looking at this proposal, also part of it was directly in response to a specific request that had come forward. And there's an individual who would like to purchase this existing house right here. Again, this is Crocker Road, it's the second house up, and to develop such for a retail store. They don't really propose any changes to the house that are there, the appearance of the house. They're looking at making it, use of it pretty much the way it is, and to then have it be used for retail. When you look at this area today, there is a grouping of about six houses right here next to Crocker Road, one of which is also used for a small paving company. You have the self-storage facility. You have a property that previously was used for a service business. You have a large tract of land right in here that's owned by the Coastal Mountain Land Trust that won't be developed. It's wet. And then you have the Perry's Furniture properties. Again, this is one that the board thought it made quite a bit of sense to allow small retail in this area that was consistent with what was allowed in the other sections of Route 3, subject to some specific performance standards. Along the way, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I know that there were several public comments that came in for the hearing.
Yep, and I'll be reading those public comments. Are there any questions from the council? I see none, Wayne.
Thank you.
Oh, Mike?
You know, we got a very, very, very long and broad public comment from one person. And if we're going to be reading all these, these meetings are going to become ridiculous. We're going to need to find a better way to do it.
Well, we're going to read them tonight.
I'm reading everybody's emails and every comment that comes in. And maybe we need some advice from Maine Municipal on process and procedure, because I'm as much for hearing people's comments as anybody. But I just think they're going to, you know, reading a one-page, single-space comment is not going to be productive for these meetings.
Thank you, Mike. Neil?
I don't disagree with Mike on his concern. What I think the issue, though, is that this is not just this is not just an item of business, but it actually calls for a public hearing. Mm-hmm. So to me, what I would suggest is that reading whatever people sent in as testimony to the public hearing would be appropriate, but it would have to be within the parameters of what we would allow if it was spoken, that somebody wouldn't be able to write a letter that took 15 minutes to read because they wouldn't be allowed to speak for 15 minutes in a public meeting.
Thank you both. Any other questions for Wayne? Seeing none, we will go then, I believe, Wayne, to the next item, item B, which is a public hearing on the second reading of proposed amendments to City Code of Ordinances regarding the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District. And with the council's approval, I have two emails to read, and I'll read them as quickly as possible. Is that all right? Okay, thank you. The first one is from Destiny Pinkham. And this came in, my name is Destiny Pinkham and I own a small local business in town, Riptide. I'm writing you today in regards to the proposed ordinance amendment to the Route 3 Commercial District. I support the amendment proposal to the fullest. This change would be a step forward for Belfast for all of its current and future residents. The proposal not only opens doors to current businesses like myself to expand, but for future businesses to open in such a difficult and needed time. Not only does the amendment allow a large number of small businesses to open, but also allows the potential for multifamily housing in an ever-growing community. It increases property value for current residents living within those limits as well. I'm currently prepared to purchase a property located at 67 Belmont Avenue, pending the amendment change. Our bank loan has been approved, MDOT driveway permits approved, and a purchase and sales agreement has also been drafted. We are hoping that you, the council, approve these changes with your local small businesses in mind. Current rent averages over $2,500 per month, more than triple what my mortgage would be in our new location. It would allow us to expand hours, hire employees, support local banking, and do what we love, give back to Belfast. Thank you for your time and consideration. Please stay safe. And that's Destiny Pinkham, Riptide Smoke Shop. So that's one, and then I'll read the other. This is from Denise Pendleton. I am disheartened to hear the city's interest in creating opportunities for retail development west of Crocker Road. I watched the 227 Planning Board meeting in which Wayne explained the differences in zoning between east and west of Crocker Road, but did not hear a cognate explanation for why it makes sense for the city to amend zoning that would allow for additional, i.e. two more types of retail establishments west of Crocker Road. I appreciate that the proposed rezoning includes standards that reflect the residential scale of the area, limit the type of retail to sit-down restaurants and new structures with a farmhouse slash barn-like appearance, limited lighting, etc. However, I don't understand why retail isn't limited and or further supported or directed to make use of the bare property already established for retail development. Some of you may remember that I was among the opposition to the bare property hosting a big box store. However, its use as a property that includes multi-unit housing with small retail stores sounds like smart development that could address the need for both affordable housing and more retail options. I would like to understand how this sprawl of more retail along the corridor that welcomes visitors to Belfast and points east beyond fits into the comprehensive planning for smart growth that preserves the special charm of our town. I'm concerned that part of the rationale for this change is to bring the north side of Route 3 in line with standards of the south side. The relaxation of the rules on the south side, however, were made as an exception on behalf of a seemingly worthwhile project by Habitat for Humanity. This leapfrog approach, oh, we will make an exception here, now we need to allow that exceptional behavior over here to make it uniform, doesn't sound like sound planning. The proposed smoke shop owner presented a convincing argument for wanting to relocate to a more affordable location that yields better investment dollars and high exposure for increasing customer base. This business has the problem many Belfast residents do who simply can't afford to purchase property inside the corridor. But isn't it the job of the city and planning board to address this issue with sound planning and to step back from such convincing arguments to consider the higher vision and longer term needs of this town's well-being as a desirable destination for visitors and new residents? What else could the city offer such a business seeking affordable investments to expand its services? I also wonder, does the city want a smoke shop beloved for its vaping devices to be one of the first business establishments to welcome visitors into our town? Turning the blue house that sits alone on a hill and is unlikely to sell as a private residence into a business use makes sense, but within present zoning, this could be an office building. To conclude, I ask for clarification and consideration of the following points. One, what is the rationale for more sprawl along Route 3 when another area has already been designated for retail commercial interest? Two, relatedly, why does it make sense to sound comprehensive vision and planning to extend retail to both sides of the Route 3 west of Crocker Road? And finally, if the city is moved primarily by the desire to grant retail use of the Blue House, would it be possible for the city to grant use this use only without extending it to other possible retail businesses along Route 3 and also require greater landscaping design to ensure an attractive entrance to Belfast? Thank you, Denise Pendleton. So those were the two public comments I received. We received. So there are no more public comments that I'm aware of. So we will go to C at this point. Council consideration on the second reading of proposed amendments to City Code of Ordinances regarding the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District. Neil, and then Paul.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a tough balance we try to keep between with sprawl and the fact that the downtown is not affordable to many small businesses. And my preference is for density downtown. But I want to point out that some of the same people that don't want the sprawl on Route 3 don't want us to increase density downtown. I'm sure many people that don't like that we may expand retail there are the same people that don't want us to allow building a new development on Washington Street. My concern is that I don't smoke, I don't vape, I don't like it. I don't get to decide it for others. To decide, I don't think it is the purview of the city, of this council, or of the planning department to decide that Habitat for Humanity is a worthy applicant and the smoke shop is not. What we do is we set guidelines and rules in the code that are for any business that wants to come in. I'm afraid that some of the objection to this change rests on that concept that we're going to decide. Wouldn't it be nice if this was there, but if that was? We can put limits on designs, as Wayne has mentioned, that you can't build a big glass and steel structure in that area. If this passes, that it looks like a house or a barn or, in a particular case with the smoke shop, they don't apparently intend to really change the structure at all, just the usage of it. So I'm sensitive to the fact that when we talked about Habitat for Humanity, that we said, we said when we approved Tractor Supply, that was as far as we were going to go. Crocker Road was going to be it. Wasn't going to be anything west of that. And then that resolve didn't last very long at all. But things change. And one thing that has changed is we are now in what might turn out to be the greatest economic downturn in this country's history, rivaling the Great Depression. And not the time for us to decide we're going to put the charm of the community ahead of new business wanting to be able to come in here and pay taxes and add to our community. So I would support the change in the zoning.
Thank you, Neil. Paul, you were next.
Yes. I have a question for Wayne, but first I wanted to say that we're looking at an amendment to the City Code of Ordinances regarding the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District, keyword commercial, and making a change for that. So, Wayne, I wanted you to give a brief explanation of the sewer that we have out in that area. And also, I would like to know if this – I don't have my map in front of me. Is this an actual enlargement of the Route 3 Commercial Zoning District?
I'll address the second question first. It is not an enlargement of the Route 3 commercial district. The Route 3 commercial district already extends to Perry's Furniture directly across from Edgecombe Road. So all of this area has been in the Route 3 commercial district. When the Route 3 commercial district was initially established, there was a provision that said that there wouldn't be retail westerly of Crocker Road. This is an amendment to such, and this would be bringing more of this district into consistency with other sections, although there is still remains a limitation on size of retail, which doesn't apply elsewhere in Route 3. With sewer goes right about where the E is, or directly across from what is Scudic Drive. That's sewer that was extended to basically serve part of the MB&A project, as well as then to run a private sewer line from this area up to Springbrook. There is no public sewer beyond this point. There's no public sewer as far as Crocker Road. And at this point in time, I don't believe that there's any intent of the city's part to extend that sewer. There's not enough demand out there. In fact, when the Hutchinson Center when the Hutchinson Center went from being owned pretty much by MB&A and was purchased through Bank of America required that the former sewer line that used to go through the MB&A complex be reconstructed to put in a new private force main line adjacent to Route 3 that runs down to this same area where the sewer line ends today at great cost to everybody. But there is no public gravity sewer line that anyone could connect to today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Mike?
Thank you. I support the change, and here's why. First off, you know, this isn't a choice between somewhere out on Route 3 and downtown. There is the entire east side. There are businesses up on Swan Lake Avenue. I don't know that this would have fit, but, you know, certainly all of Route 1. Waldo Avenue, east side Route 1. There is a lot of space for places to go. But if you're trying to talk about either on in town, it is very confining. Belfast is really lucky. We have a huge amount of in-town businesses that are owned by the buildings are owned by the businesses that occupy them. That makes it very difficult for a building that's for sale for somebody to find one and, you know, get their foot in. It's just, you know, secondly, Belfast, right up until about March 9th when Aaron showed up, the economy was going great, you know, and it was really hard to find an empty space. So businesses are such as Riptide are forced out looking. New construction is beyond reach for most of them, for most small businesses. And in any event, you know, to me, Belfast, once we get over this little viral hump here, is going to grow. It's going to continue to grow. I don't think something like this, and I think Wayne, I don't know if Wayne addressed it because I was taking advantage of Wayne hypnotizing me and I was doing something else. But there's just not a lot of opportunity for other things to do what we are permitting here on this through this. I don't think it badly adds to sprawl at all. And if anything, we have found that the businesses that are on the outer edges, you know, I can remember when downtown was empty and all the real businesses were out on the highways. Now it's kind of, you know, gone through a big shakeout. And so we have a bigger economy, more businesses, and we have more people wanting to support businesses. So, I think to Neil's point, especially right now, we are going to be so challenged by this economy that here's a business, here's a local business that wants to move ahead in these tough times, ready to move ahead. So I'm really a supporter, I'm not a sprawl guy. I'm anti-sprawl. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mary.
Yes. So I think one of the key words in the presentation from the planning board is consistency. There were reviews done back in 2000 and some decisions were made. Jump forward to 2018 and the planning board started to review and rethink some long-time existing ordinances and situations. And in 2018, the planning board made a presentation to us, which we approved, and we discussed allowing multifamily housing on Route 3 in this particular, in areas of Route 3 and other highway locations in town. And we, other commercial highway locations around town. And in April of 19, once again, planning board came to us with recommendations in relation to the office park zoning district. And we made some updated changes and corrections there. And that was about the time that the Habitat Restore request came forward, which is on the southerly side of Route 3 in this area. And they looked at the whole big picture and some uses that hadn't been allowed previously, multifamily housing being the most important one to the council, but also clarifying that boat storage along with the storage unit business could be allowed, and some light industrial uses, and a restaurant that I think Wayne mentioned, there is no sewer along the stretch. The requirements are that if there's a sit-down restaurant, there has to be sewer. So that would eliminate sit-down restaurants in this new proposal. But it's a limited stretch, a limited amount of land, a limited number of lots. And we already have a self-storage unit business. We have the Blue House, which may become a smoke shop shortly. We have Perry's store, which is also their residence and horse property. And we're going to have a Habitat Restore across the street shortly, as well as the Hutchinson Center and Sweetser and Bank of America complex. And so if we were looking at the comment of entrance into the city, it's a bit of a hodgepodge. There are a few lots that could change hands in the future. I don't think what this particular zoning states, and most importantly, the new requirements for setbacks and landscaping and things to make it be more pleasant looking and welcoming is very important. And the first thing that really got my attention in reviewing this, setbacks are much greater, landscaping requirements are greater, type of design of building is more consistent, once again, that word consistency, with the properties in the particular area. And I also am not for sprawl, have never been for sprawl. But this little stretch on one side of the road, to have consistency on both sides of the road, because I don't know, I think I find having inconsistency on one side of the road versus the other as distressing as stretching it this little distance further to Edgecombe Road. So I'm going to support this. And, you know, if the next, If the next conversation somewhere down the pike is to go beyond Edgecombe Road, that's going to be a different story. So I am supportive as the proposal as presented and recommended by the planning board.
All right, thank you. Any other comment or is there a motion or do we need one, Wayne, at this point?
I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the amendments as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, I got a motion and a second. Any other comment from anybody before we go to a vote? We'll do a roll call vote. I see none. So I'll begin. Ward 1?
Yes.
Ward 2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
No.
Ward 4? Mike?
Yes.
Thank you. Ward 5?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
No, that's not correct, Mayor.
Four to one.
Brenda voted no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I couldn't hear her. I apologize. Brenda, did you vote no?
I voted no.
Okay. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. 4-1. Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Item D. Request from Police Chief Jerry Lincoln to confirm a new deputy police chief to the Belfast Police Department. I believe we have the chief with us. Yeah. Good evening, Chief Lincoln. Good evening, Chief. Can you hear me? Good evening, Chief. Can you hear me? He's connecting, so give us a moment.
There we go.
Good evening, Chief Lincoln. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can everybody hear me this evening?
Yes, we can. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Jerry Lincoln, Chief of Police for the City of Belfast. I'm here to present to the council Dean Jackson for confirmation as the Deputy Chief of Police for the City of Belfast. See if we can give you an idea of who Dean is here.
6 feet away, like that.
Dean grew up and is currently living in Morrill, Maine with his family. Dean attended Belfast Area High School, graduating in 1981. Got a little technical difficulty here.
Hey, Chief, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Well, you know what? You ought to just keep that camera right in front of you, even if we lose that police officer lurking behind you, because we can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. I'll try to pick up where I left off. So Dean attended the Belfast Area High School, graduating in 1981, at which time he enlisted in the U.S. Army. Dean spent 3 years as a military policeman stationed in Massachusetts and Western Germany. After his honorable discharge from the Army, Dean was hired by the Belfast Police Department as a patrol officer, where he worked until he was hired as a Maine State Police Trooper in 1989. Dean progressed through the Maine State Police as a trooper and then detective in the Major Crimes Unit. In the Major Crimes Unit, Dean investigated numerous felonious crimes to include supervising homicide and cold case investigations. During this time, he was appointed as acting sergeant, supervising detectives, the detectives assigned to the unit. Dean retired from the Maine State Police in 2014 after an illustrious career and began working at the Waldo County District Attorney's Office as a prosecutorial assistant and office supervisor. Dean supervised the employees of the office and assisted the prosecutors in preparing cases for trial. During this period, Dean rejoined the Belfast Police Department as a part-time patrol officer. Dean's lengthy law enforcement experience in both patrol and investigative functions, coupled with his prosecutorial and supervisory experience, will be a huge asset to our now young police department. Dean's calm demeanor, logical thought process, similar philosophy, and familiarity with the department and its officers make him a great fit in this extremely important position in the police department. If confirmed, I'm confident Dean will be a great asset for the city of Belfast and the Belfast Police Department.
Thank you, Chief. Mary?
I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Dean Jackson as the new Deputy Chief of Police for the City of Belfast.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Discussion? Brenda?
I just would like to add that Mr. Jackson's age is still considered young as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Brenda. Paul?
Yes, I was wondering, Chief Lincoln, is that Dean Jackson in behind you?
Yes, it is.
Could he step up so I could say hi?
There's a 6-foot distance thing, Paul. They're trying to keep
move away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I can see him better now. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Mike?
Yeah, I just want to say welcome. Many people are sheltering at home in place. The police are not. And really appreciate everything the Belfast police and all first responders are doing. And welcome to Dean. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Seeing none, I'll take it to a roll call vote. Ward 1?
Yes.
Ward 2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Yes.
Ward 4? Mike?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Ward 5?
Yes.
All right. I think I heard all yays. So that's a 5-0 vote. In affirmation, Chief. Congratulations, Dean. Welcome to the new role, and we appreciate everything that the police department and you do and will be doing in the next few months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I have the chief on the next item, agenda item as well. Request from Police Chief Jerry Lincoln to confirm a full-time officer to the police, Belfast Police Department. Chief?
Yes, thank you. We have a second candidate here, Megan Tribuzio, for confirmation as a full-time police officer for the city of Belfast. Megan grew up in Monroe, Maine, and attended John Baps High School in Bangor. She then attended Thomas College for 1 year, then transferring to Huston University with a major in criminal justice. Megan is currently living in Monroe, Maine. Megan's undergone a rigorous hiring process to include an oral board interview, extensive background investigation, and polygraph examination, all of which she passed without issue. Megan has met all requirements for reserve officer certification for Maine and will begin her field training with the police department immediately. If confirmed, Megan would likely attend the full-time police academy in January. With her educational majors, local interest and outgoing nature, I'm confident Megan, if confirmed, will perform well serving the city of Belfast as a full-time police officer, and she's highly recommended for your confirmation.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Is there do we have a nomination or a motion? Mary?
I would like to make that a motion that we appoint Megan Tribuzio as a full-time officer with the Belfast Police Department.
All right, thank you. Mike, second. Are you seconding? Okay. Any discussion? I see none, so we will do a roll call because this is a big deal. New police officer. Ward 1?
Yes.
Ward 2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Yes.
Ward 4, Mike?
Yes.
Ward 5.
Yes.
I hear a 5-0 vote in affirmation. Congratulations on your position as a new police officer, Mike.
You know, over the years, Belfast has had a very small number of female officers. It's been a goal. It's a very difficult, you know, as many people said, it's not a question that we're not willing to hire a woman. They just weren't applying. And so very welcome and to Belfast. And we're very glad to have you apply and to have you serve. And welcome
aboard. Absolutely. And Megan, we had a former city manager who used to have a traditional speech to every new officer, and I won't give that anymore. But I will say that we are just very proud that you're here and applied for the job. And your gender is noted and important to us. But we also admire the fact that you stepped up and took on the role as a new police officer in the city of Belfast. And the officers in the city of Belfast have a history of serving the public and being one with the public in a way that I think the Chief Lincoln could vouch for that. I have a very good and special relationship with the city of Belfast, and the city of Belfast, City Hall and Council and Mayor are very appreciative and always there for you if you have any questions or concerns. And we're just happy as all can get out that you applied for the job, and congratulations from all of us. And we look forward to seeing your career here with the city of Belfast. So welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I am on item F. Request from City Assessor Brent Martin to move $6,000 from Capital Project account 730-858 to the Department's Wages account 120-501 for continuing the equalization of the city's property tax cards. And I believe we may have Brent on or not. Yes, we do. He's coming from the waiting room into the room. There he is. Brent, can you hear us? Yeah, we're going to connect with the audio. It takes a second. Give us a moment there, sir. We can't hear you yet. We can see you. Now I can really see you. Can you say something to see if we can hear you? No can hear. Oh, now it's connecting the audio, so it'll be just a moment, folks. Brent will be right with you here. There we go. Brent, good evening. Can you hear me? I believe you may be on. No, you're not on mute.
No, the connection didn't work.
Okay.
There we go. Try again. Nope. You'll see a check mark when it works. Oh, wow.
There you go. Good evening, Brent.
Yeah.
And I was on mute.
Now you're on mute, sir. On your computer. There you go.
Is that working?
Yeah. Yes.
That's working.
Yay. Excellent.
Like a okay. Cake.
It's my first time using it on a cell phone.
Oh, cell phone.
Well, we can hear you and see you clearly. So we have your agenda item up F about moving $6,000 from the capital project. Can you give us a quick overview on it or the need?
Yes. Essentially, $6,000 was set aside. I believe it was around 2.5-3 years ago. The intention at that point was whether we would upload digital sketching, and I had secured thought I had secured two different contractors where in the course over the next 3 months after it was set aside, both became unavailable. What then happened is we've had upgrades to our network internally, and we have an anticipated upgrade to our assessing software that is still in limbo, and we're waiting for some other municipalities to work out the kinks in that upgraded software before we transition. So in the interim, I would like to use the monies that were set aside for that digital sketching and put that towards additional hours internally here to continue the equalization process through various maps throughout Belfast.
Understood.
And this particular, today in particular, we had attempted where I was in the field and I had Avis Winchester in the office communicating back to her to do a live entry, and it worked very well.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion from somebody on the council?
Absolutely. I would like to make a motion that we move $6,000 from the capital fund, I can't see my page, into the line that he requested.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, seeing several. So any discussion?
Yes.
Mary?
We're very fortunate to have Brent along with the rest of our city staff. Brent had previously been an appraiser and came to us with that background, which is very helpful to the job he is now doing as an assessor. And he's looked at and revered very highly in the state of Maine. And we have not had a full city reval since 2003. We paid a lot of money to hire a company to do that in 2003. And when Brent came to us roughly 5 years ago, he looked at things, knew they needed to be updated to bring us into line with what the state requires. And he also made it clear that he thought he had the ability to work on this in-house and save us big bucks. And he's been working diligently the last 3 years, especially focused on equalizing and making fair and equitable all of the property valuation within the city of Belfast. And he has covered almost all of the tax maps, almost all of the area of the city. He's got a little bit of rural land left to go. And that's what he intends to work on right now if we approve this. And the most important thing, the simplest thing about this for taxpayers is that what he has done, it has brought us into compliance with the state requirement that the numbers be within, they like to call it 100% of fair market value, but above 90% with good numbers and backup is acceptable. And they go through an audit process every year. And fair market value means that when properties sell on the real estate market, that price that they sell for is called fair market value. And we have had many areas of the city over the years since 2003 that have been assessed incorrectly in relation to where fair market value has brought us from 2003 until 2020. So Brent has been working on that, and it has helped, believe it or not, it has helped us with our tax mill rate. But the most important advantage to taxpayers that have their primary residence in Belfast and file for a homestead exemption, they are able to get this year $25,000 taken off the assessed value of their property. So they're paying less real estate property taxes based on that. And that's due to Brent's hard work and continuing hard work. And this year, where we haven't yet started our budget review and we're looking at, we know already we're looking at some challenges, anything he can do to make us be as equitable as possible and help with our mill rate is well appreciated by every taxpayer in Belfast, I'm sure. So thank you, Brent, for your hard work.
Oh, thank you. if I can add something, there is no feasible way I can do what's been done or plan on doing without the staff here. That includes Annie. She is a rock in this office. It includes Avis. Her knowledge, her historical knowledge of Belfast has been instrumental and invaluable. And Bill Kelly, having him down the hall, and he can hear me both live and through Zoom saying this, he's very, very thorough, on point, and an invaluable resource also to Belfast. Council members as well, I can say that each and every one of you, we've spoken individually. There's a reason why Belfast is Belfast. On that point, let me deviate for 1 second. I had been an initial point of contact for the Census Bureau. It was handed off to the city clerk, but there were several council members that were responsible in promoting the census response process online. And I just received an email yesterday afternoon from the Census Bureau indicating that of the entire state of Maine, Belfast was the top city to respond in terms of the percentage of responses.
Nice.
And I thought that would be worth noting, and it speaks to the kind of the in-touch attitude of people in Belfast for wanting to be involved. So I just wanted to put that out there as well.
Thank you very much, Brent. And Mike, you had a point you wanted to make?
You know, I think sometimes people think that when Brent reassesses their house and it goes up, well, most people just don't like that anyway, of course. But an assessment doesn't raise taxes for the people of Belfast. If Brent found a $1 house that was actually $1 million and he reassessed it as $1 million house, what that would do is lower other people's taxes. You know, it's an important thing. If we don't, you know, Belfast has changed a lot over the last few years. Over every year, it keeps changing. You know, I have a friend who bought a house, I am sad to say, like 5 days before it was reassessed. And, you know, down on the, I was on the ocean, and lo and behold, it hadn't been reassessed for like 20 years. And boy, oh boy, was he shocked. You know, but I know people who live out on the back Belmont Road, and they say, hey, my taxes went down this year. What happened? And I go, increased valuations in other neighborhoods lowered the valuations in other places. So this is a, you know, and for anybody who thinks this is fun to do this, you know, we are required by the state of Maine, by the state of Maine constitution, to accurately assess the true value of property for this very reason. Many towns many times take, you know, they don't do it because it's not popular. They like to try and keep it down. But generally speaking, what that does is just drives up the mill rate. So anyway, thank you, Brent. Really appreciate what you and your staff are working on. And thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Brenda.
I just wanted to quickly echo what Brent was saying. I've been into the offices a few times, and Annie is remarkable, and I'm so pleased that you have Avis on your team. I know Avis in another iteration or two, and you're well equipped in your office, and obviously that speaks about you as well. So thank you for all your hard work. I'm grateful.
One last point. We're in uncertain times going forward with market conditions. I'm very much aware of what's going on out there. What is going on out there. April 1st, that date was not changed for our valuation date for the state of Maine. That said, regardless of where assessments end up this year, I always want to make it clearly known that if anybody ever has any questions about their valuation, to come in and speak with me about it, oftentimes we find that it's not a valuation issue, but that it's a hardship issue. I am also that initial point of contact when there are hardships involved. So the home, the property, the business may be properly valued, but the stresses involved may initially have someone question the assessment. I am that contact person. I will help get you the resources and in touch with the appropriate people when there are hardships involved, especially, again, in times like these.
Thank you very much, Brent. We'll take it now to a roll call vote. And I'll start with Ward 1.
Yes.
2.
Yes.
3.
Yes.
4.
Yes.
5.
Yes.
Thank you all. The motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, Brent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
Item G will move on to now request from Wastewater Superintendent John Carman for approval to proceed with engineering services for the Franklin Street Sewer Replacement Project. And I'm going to turn I'm going to go on mute here for Aaron, so stand by.
Hi. Thank you. So John Carman could not be with us this evening. He actually had to have surgery for tooth today, so I'll be pinch hitting for him. What happened was the wastewater treatment staff responded to a sewer system overflow on March 19th at Franklin Street. They did a closed circuit television inspection on March 25th, and John Carman and our public works director, Bob Richards, approximately 100 to 150 feet are in need of replacement. Our superintendent is recommending that this section of sewer line be replaced as soon as possible to avoid further sewer system overflow and possible structural failure. Superintendent Carman recommends that funding from wastewater sewer expansion account be used for all of the project expenses. I looked into this line of our budget, and there is currently $327,000 in the wastewater sewer expansion account. So right now, we are looking for the council to approve the department to move forward put this out to get estimated project costs and specifications, and then before going out to bid for the project. And then once the project costs are in, he will come back and share the information with the council before final approval.
So moved.
Second.
Yes, Neil, give me one second here. Neil?
I was just seconding.
Okay. Paul and Mary?
Motion's been made.
I was on mute, guys, so I apologize.
I made the motion.
Okay, so a motion has been made and seconded?
Yes.
All right, any other discussion? Mike?
Thank you. You know, these are the unseen tubes that work for Belfast. When they dug up Cross Street, we found one of the big storm drains was actually hand-built rock wall, just rock wall sides and a little stream that runs down between, say, the co-op and Main Street. And, it wasn't long ago. I remember when they dug up Main Street, they found actual pipes that were made out of wood, out of tamarack, which is very long-lasting, especially if it stays. Anyway, it wasn't that long ago that this stuff is down there. And, you know, much of our infrastructure is first generation. It's the same. It's the first pipes we put in the ground many, many times, and the same as the water district. And I bring this up because these things are incredibly expensive. Ratepayers pay for all of it. Or in this case, with the sewer, taxpayers pay for it. With water, ratepayers pay for it. And the Belfast Water District has told everybody they have about 60 miles of water pipe. About 30 of it needs to be replaced right now. It's one of the reasons we're excited about the possibility of the valuation that Nordic Aquaculture would bring to Belfast. So these are the kind of expenses that we're trying to not just have everybody pay out of their pockets. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Mary.
Point of clarification, I do believe that ratepayers pay for the sewer projects.
They do.
My wife pays my bills.
Paul, did you have something? Or seeing nothing else, we'll take it to a vote. Ward 1?
Yes.
2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Yes.
4? Mike?
Yes, please.
Ward 5?
Yes.
Thank you. The vote motion passes 5-0. Thank you all very much. Item H, request from the Economic Development Director, Thomas Kittredge, to have the City Council reauthorize the submission of a grant application to the Island Institute and to recommit matching funds for this application. Thomas joins us now.
Hello.
Thomas. Hello. Go right ahead, sir.
Did you read the item, or do you want me to read it? Or
I've already read it.
Okay. Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay. Good evening, Mayor Sanders, members of the City Council, Manager Herbig. I'm Thomas Kittredge, Economic Development Director for the City of Belfast. At your meeting of February 18th, 2020, the City Council voted to take the following actions. One, to authorize the submission of an application to the Island Institute for a broadband planning grant in the amount of $14,600. To authorize the city manager to sign any documents related necessary to the submission of the grant application, and three, commit matching funds in the amount of $14,600 for this grant application to be taken from city account 730-862, which is an account that had been established and dedicated to the city's broadband planning efforts. If this grant had been submitted as we originally intended and had been chosen for funding, we would have planned to contract with the firm Mission Broadband to perform two primary activities. One, the development of high-level engineering for a citywide internet fiber network, as well as developing a comprehensive request for proposals and management of that request for proposals process. So fast forward, subsequent to that February 18th meeting, members of the city's broadband committee, which included myself and Councillor Mary Mortier, met with staff of the Island Institute here and to discuss a draft grant application. They were very generous with their time, going painstakingly through our draft application and helping us better understand the goals of the Island Institute and how they might be better reflected in that application. There was a lot of discussion regarding not so much that first part of it with the high level engineering, but a lot of discussion related about the request, paying a firm to handle doing a request for proposals process. There was some discussion amongst the committee members after the Island Institute had left the room, as well as at the future broadband committee meeting, about taking a different approach that better aligned with what the Island Institute's goals and vision were for this program. At the present time, what the committee would like to do is to amend their grant application and basically remove that second task, the RFP process, and kind of set aside for later and have a grant application that's really only for the high-level engineering. The same one-to-one cash match that's required would still be relevant. That would have as a result of only doing that first task, we would be lowering the overall budget from $29,200 to $19,200, and that would result in reducing the matching fund requirement from $14,600 to $9,600. $19,200 divided by 2 is $9,600. So if we submit this amended grant request and we are successful, we would be coming back to authorize entering into a contract with Mission Broadband. But right now our focus is on the grant application. So my request of the City Council is to kind of reauthorize the application, but now in the amount of $9,600, to reauthorize the city manager to sign any and all documents related necessary to the submission of the grant application and three, to recommit matching funds, but now in the amount of $9,600 from that same account, account 730-862. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Or entertain a motion. Brenda.
Just a couple of questions, Thomas. Thank you. So are you tweaking the grant application based on information you received from a meeting, because it's possible that in doing so, we are more likely to receive grant approval? Is that what I'm understanding? Maybe I'm asking an obvious question.
No such thing as obvious questions, but yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't more clear. I think the feeling of the committee members in discussions with the Island Suit staff was it was harder for us to convince the Island Institute of why we would need money to pay an outside firm to manage a request for proposals process. I would say that I disagree with that, but I think looking at, we still view this as a grant opportunity, and I think the approach is we'd like to get some money out of this program versus none. It's possible that we aren't successful. We may need to come back and say we need more money to do both tasks, one and two, entirely from the city's broadband planning fund. But we think this may be the middle approach and still get some of the money paid for by the Island Institute. So we didn't do an A-plus job of convincing them why we needed to pay someone, and they were unconvinced of why we would need to. I think amongst the committee members, we felt that we had a gap in our knowledge and we needed to spend some money to get technical expertise for an RFP process to make sure we would be asking for the right things and do it right. And so it was clear to us, I think, generally across the board in the committee, and we were a little bit surprised that they would have pushback on that, but they seemed quite clear that may be a real problem area for them to put money into.
Okay. Yeah. I was assuming that was the case, but I just wanted to clarify. And then part B is that, will you then not need the RFP portion? You kind of alluded a few moments ago that you might have to come back and revisit an RFP, an idea of an RFP. Do you?
Yeah, I think that's still there. We just don't know if we would ask the council to allocate the entire amount necessary out of that broadband planning fund, or we'd look for another grant opportunity. The committee probably will be meeting in the near future and maybe we'll be discussing that, but we feel like we always viewed the high level engineering as coming before the RFP. So I think the RFP will be a discussion topic amongst the broadband committee in the coming weeks, and developing a strategy of how to pay for that. I think the committee is probably still feeling the same way, that we need outside assistance to have an effective RFP process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary, yes.
The committee has had a number of meetings over the past year with a number of outside consultants and businesses to better inform us on technical issues that apply to this broadband conversation. And we have learned a great deal of information in the past year from a lot of different resources that have been out there. We have received one grant in the past to do a survey. A couple of years back, Axiom did a survey for us. That was the first Connect Maine grant, phase one, that we received. That moved us along quite nicely. But it's been very, very productive this past year, and we had come to the council almost a year ago. It was in this budget year, and requested $70,000 because we had actually gotten guidance that this step might cost more than what we now know it's going to cost with the company that we've identified. And we also learned in these many meetings that there are people who are experts at applying for these loans and doing parts of the technical information that's needed to be done. And it's a very good committee, and everybody is very involved and very technically oriented. I'm the dummy on the committee. And it was very clear that there were other towns and communities that were getting grants and various help and guidance that we were not, and we've kind of filled in the holes of where we had weaknesses. And we have actually identified a company that we will be hiring to do the high-quality, high-level engineering study, if that is approved with this request. And that's what the grant that we're applying for is all about. And we hold Island Institute in very high regard. They're quite a commendable organization in many different areas that they pursue. And we were very fortunate that the woman who's the head of their broadband granting area came to us with one of her assistants and spent over an hour with us to review our draft application. And it was quite educational. But one of the things that we learned was that we were not totally in alignment with where they are, with who their constituency is. They have been dealing with, first and foremost, many of the little islands off of the coast of Maine, and they're expanding to coastal towns in mid-coast Maine. And we've been working very hard this last year, 2 years, and have come to some conclusions about what we believe will work the best for Belfast and Belfast needs. And like I said, we were not totally aligned on all the issues as the Island Institute saw them. So we are going to resubmit the application using the knowledge that we acquired in the meeting with them and taking out one of the parts that they didn't feel aligned with their grant making and money presentation. But one of the things the committee talked about afterwards was the fact that, yes, this RFP will need to be written after we get the high-level engineering study. And the unknown is that it's very possible that the information in this high-level engineering study may provide us with some answers and guidance that we haven't had prior to receiving that. And we may find when we release it after receiving that study that we are able to write the RFP. But that's an unknown until we receive that high-level study. Mm-hmm. And we feel very highly confident with Mission Broadband, who's the company that we've chosen to do the high-level study, engineering study, and anything else that we may choose to work with them on going forward. And they have already saved us money by contacts they have and created over the years through their good work, and have been able to attain very specific information from CMP that's going to save us a lot of money in this engineering study. And so when we asked you for $70,000 roughly a year ago, it's because we got quotes that were much higher. And so when you hear Thomas talking about the current numbers that are much lower, part of that is because of the contacts and years of work that Mission Broadband has done with CMP successfully, and we're going to get the benefit of some of that relationship. So I hope that you all will approve this new lower request for match to the new grant, the redrafted grant.
Thank you very much, Mary. Anybody else? Paul?
Yes, I'd like to encourage the Broadband Committee to continue their efforts to move forward to get broadband to everybody in the city of Belfast. I live outside the bypass, and looking around with everybody that's on the screen tonight, I'm the furthest one from this meeting site. And I have poor internet speed out here. And tonight I've missed a couple of chances to make some motions because I'm running 2 or 3 seconds behind everybody else. And that's just the way it is. So I encourage the Broadband Committee to continue with their efforts and I support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And I'll look to you momentarily for a motion. Mike? You're on mute, Mike.
Brenda had a hand up before me.
Thanks, now, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to defer to what Eric just said regarding Mr. Paul Dean, and I'm just going to I'll just wait. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Mike?
Do you want a motion at this point, or are we speaking to the motion? I'm sorry.
Nobody's made a motion. Paul, I would like to see if perhaps Paul would like to make a motion.
Okay, but then let me just say, you know, this virus and everybody working at home and kids all sent home and us doing this, Paul, it's not just that you miss getting to make a motion. If you were trying to do business at home, you couldn't. And here you're at least participating. But, you know, many school children have been unable to in Belfast. Now, forget living out in the, you know, the surrounding suburbs. In Belfast, there are many kids who cannot get enough internet or any internet, so they can't, you know, work with their teachers and forget all the people who are in their homes. And so this is a, you know, a lot of times people hear a little thing, oh, we're asking to apply for a grant. They're not paying attention, really. They don't think about it. Where's this going? Where this is going is we want high-speed internet for everybody in Belfast. And, you know, this committee is working on this, and they are finding their way as to the best method to provide that. They're going to get around to telling us what it's going to take, but they're giving us signals what it's going to take. And it's not a small undertaking. It's going to be a major undertaking for the city on the level of everybody gets electricity, everybody gets, telephone. You know, that is not the case right now with internet. So I make a motion that we.
Actually, Mike, I'd rather let Paul, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul, go right ahead. Thank you.
It's just not me making motions, too. It's having the ability to stream anything. But I would like to make a motion to increase the overall budget from $19,200 to $29,200 and to reduce the matching funds from $14,600 to $9,600. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure that's where we're going, though. Thomas?
Just to clarify and reiterate, the previous time I was in front of the council, we had a total project cost of $29,200, and half of that, $14,600, was both the match amount and the grant amount we applied for. Now our total project cost is $19,200, which is lower, and we're applying for $9,600 and requesting $9,600 in matching funds from account 730-862.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. I'll so move that.
All right, I appreciate that, Paul. Is there a second in the house?
Yes.
All right, any other discussion or can we go to a roll call vote? All right, Ward 1.
Yes.
Ward 2.
Yes.
Ward 3.
Yes.
Ward 4, Mike.
Yes.
There you go. Ward 5.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank Thomas, you very much. Good night.
Thank you, Thomas. Night,
Thomas. Thank you, Thomas.
There are two other parts to the motion.
Oh, okay. I can save for the other part. Yeah, sure. Okay.
So parts 2 and 3, reauthorization of the city manager to sign any documents needed and necessary in the submission of the grant application. And reauthorization, reauthorization to submit the application to the Island Institute for a broadband planning grant in the amount of?
I'll take that as a form of a motion, Mary. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, I'm not going to take this to roll call because it passed 5-0. If everybody could just nod your heads and raise a hand. All right. Good to go. Motion pass. Motions pass 5-0 as well. I believe
Thank
that
concludes
that, Thomas.
Good night.
Travel safe.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, item I, request for additional funding of up to $7,750 to cover laboratory expenses for sampling of private property wells near the old landfill site on Pitcher Road. I'm going to turn it over to Aaron, so bear with us for a moment here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This had to do with, it was on at the January 7th meeting, the former manager, Joe Slocum, he requested from the council $10,600 to be given to StanTech to complete water sampling at private properties near the old landfill site. The budget included $5,800 for water quality monitoring and sampling in addition to $4,800 for report preparation. I've included that in the initial communication in your packet. So there was an additional expense that was overlooked that had to do with an estimated cost of fees that would be directly billed to the city from the laboratory. Lab fees, sort of like health insurance, I guess, that we didn't expect. But that ended up being $7,750. This was for 25 samples at $350 a sample. So I am now requesting to amend the request from January 7th to include the funding for up to $7,750 to cover the invoice for laboratory fees. They would come from the same account, and that is the solid waste and landfill line item of our budget. And I looked at that, and currently there is approximately $25,000 in that account.
So moved.
Thank you, Aaron. Mike, you can hand up to Jerry.
So moved.
So moved. Second. Any other discussion? I don't see the need for a roll call vote. All those in favor, raise a hand and nod. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Item J, request that $260,000 be moved from the undesignated fund balance to the Public Works Project account number 730-636 and review of interim financial report of the new Public Works facility. And I'm going to go back to Aaron, so bear with me for a moment, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. So initially when the bond proceeds for the new public works facility and solar project were received from the Maine Municipal Bond Bank, $260,000 of the bond proceeds were placed into the miscellaneous revenues for costs of the land purchase for the property. However, the land purchase had actually been taken directly from the public works line, which is 730-636. So these funds need to be placed back into the Public Works Project account to cover the costs of the entire project. The intention is that once the project is completed in full, the account will be closed, and the funds remaining will become part of the city's undesignated fund balance.
Thank you. And if I missed anything, did anybody say anything? Any discussion? Motion? Neil?
Move to accept the request.
All right.
Second.
Any discussion?
Second.
Thank you. Mary's a second. Mike?
I thought we were going to have Joe Slocum visit with us.
Later.
Nope.
So. I haven't seen Joe in a month. I've kind of missed the guy.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll take it to a roll call vote because of the dollar amount. Ward 1?
Yes.
Ward 2?
Yes.
Ward 3?
Yes.
Ward 4?
Yes.
Thank you. Ward 5?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 5-0. Item K, Request from Alexia's Pizza regarding the installation of a temporary pickup window during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes, if you'd like me to describe.
Sure.
With you. Is that Alexia's Pizza approached our department and asked, would it be possible to put in a temporary pickup window? The main reason we brought this request to the council is because they are looking at installing what will become a permanent improvement, although it only temporarily be used as a pickup window. Generally, the council, when you've had something that involves the use of the public right-of-way, in this case, the sidewalk for a long-term purpose, we've brought this back to the council. Probably the most similar proposal I could think of is one that was involved with the ice cream shop on Lower Main Street, where they were putting in a takeout window, where the council had to do the review and approval of such, particularly because of what could be impacts to the sidewalk. Clearly, at the present time, there's any number of restaurants in town that are doing things through their existing facilities, for takeout orders through their existing doors. The only reason brought this one forward is because of the nature of what would become a potential permanent improvement. Our suggestion from the department was that should there be similar proposals come from other restaurant owners, is that our department would have the authority to work independently with them without having to bring such proposals back to the council. Uncertain if any would come forward.
Thank you, Wayne. And we don't need to motion or vote on this, I do believe, because we've already given approval. Is that accurate?
I would prefer that there be, clearly we sent this to the council by email, and the majority of the council thought it was a great idea to go forward, so we authorized elections to go forward. I think it'd be good to have a vote to the record that says that the council also formally approves this request.
Okay, I'll look for a motion.
So moved.
And a second. Any discussion? Mike?
Thank you.
Paul?
Clearly, these are extraordinary times, restaurants are considered essential businesses, and not only that, they're trying to figure out a way to get some income coming through and survive. So, survive this thing. I support this. I think it'll be a temporary thing, and it's an old thing. In downtown Belfast that banned drive-up windows, even though Kirk Drug, where Bay Wrap is today, had a little pickup window that you could pull right up to. You can still see it there, actually. So I support it, and I thank you all for supporting it.
Thanks, Mike. Wayne, go ahead.
Before there's a vote, can I assume that the vote also means that you would authorize our department to work with any other restaurant in a similar manner?
Well, I support that.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. I don't.
Yes.
You don't see anybody saying no. Paul had a comment to make.
Yes, I do. First, I support this measure, but I do have a couple of questions for Wayne. We mentioned temporary basis, an emergency type of action. I'm curious of how long that would last after the executive order has been lifted. That's one question. And I would also be interested in making sure that we're including all downtown businesses that could have a takeout station to also have a chance to do this also. Thank you.
I think we'll need to see the extent of what the executive orders may be, playing by ear, and it may even be appropriate to allow it to continue for a period of time after the executive order may or may not end, to try and establish what are best business practices for safety.
All right, thank you, Wayne. Neil?
I assume it would be appropriate if once the current situation passed, that if they decided they're doing great walk-up business, that they wanted to keep some sort of arrangement where they have it open. Let's say they close the dining room at 8, but you can get a pickup until 10. something like that, that then they would be able to come back to the planning board and ask for that?
Actually, we'd bring them back to you as a use of the public right-of-way, as this would be an allowed use in the downtown.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would be that will be thrilled when TAD gets it up and running. There's been as good businesses that are open and offering takeout. There's also been a lack of variety sometimes, and so I think this serves both the purpose of variety, affordability, and commitment to our small businesses downtown. To appropriate this during this time, and frankly, hopefully, they will keep it long term for a takeout window. But that's my own opinion. Any other discussion? I see none. So we'll take it to a general vote. I heard no opposition, so all of you just raise your hands, nod your head if you support it. Okay, motion passes 5-0. Wayne, for your records.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Item K1, Mike put K1 and K2 on. K1, I believe, Mike, was an economic look-see at helping people, and then we'll go with the other one later. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, certainly not my sole idea here. I want to thank Eric and Neil, who started floating some different ideas. What can we do to help Belfast small businesses? And then it also sort of went to, people are suffering also, not just businesses. What can we do to help people? Bucksport had has a pretty good model that for us to consider, I think. They raised last time I checked, it was $150,000. Including a very strong support from a private or a business. So they raised $150,000 with the idea of providing grants to small businesses of $500 and food grants of $100. I'm not prepared to say an amount or even to suggest that amount at this point, although $150 seems within our ability to fund. From various sources, but the mechanism for this we don't have at this point. There's a very strong conversation going on with our town Belfast and the Chamber of Commerce and some people who are involved in this, thinking about this, about how to do it. But that has not gelled at this point. So I think the only point of this discussion was to say, do we generally support, and let's put a number on it, $150,000 to support $150,000 to support small business and Belfast residents with some kind of assistance and details to be developed.
All right, thank you. And I see Neil's hand. Neil?
Thank you. We've talked about that. I've talked with the mayor about this extensively and with Councillor Hurley. I look at Bucksport and Bodenham and some other communities around the state that have come up with various programs, and there's no one-size-fits-all plan. I would like to see, we have to be very careful not to duplicate efforts that hopefully these various programs from FAME and from the federal government, everything are helpful. There may be people who fall through the cracks that we can help. And the idea of some sort of food donation, even if it's to the point of, we send Thomas up to Hannaford and have him buy, $2,100 gift cards. Who knows what, But I think we ought to at least be looking at what we can do and what the parameters are of what we legally are allowed to do and at what seems practical for our already overworked staff to be able to handle. but I would ask that city staff do some work on this as soon as they can and get back to us with some parameters that we can do something. And it's important that people in this community know that we are trying to do what we can to help and that we are looking out for them. And if we have resources that can be of assistance to them, we're willing to use them. And I just want to add one other minor note here that if you want to, you ought to ask yourselves, I would ask members of this community to ask themselves why Bucksport can afford to do this. And we've got to struggle to figure out if we can. When Bucksport was able to, like that, put together a program to save their businesses, to help their citizens, we all know the answer. We all know the answer is large-scale capital investment. We've got a lot of people in this town that are going to extremist lengths to stop capital investment in this city. And I ask them that they think about the situation we're in now and the situation we're going to be in going forward and reconsider whether or not they want to be part of the problem or part of the solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Brenda?
Thank you. So I have had conversations also with the mayor and Councillor Hurley, and I'll just sort of recap what I said during those conversations, independent conversations. So as far as the business help goes, help for small or downtown businesses, there's been a lot of talk about loan programs and various kinds of products that are being offered through the SBA or banks or what have you. And I know that there are a number of small businesses, myself included, who don't necessarily either qualify somehow for some of those products or are in a bit of a situation whereby not feeling super comfortable with the notion of taking out a loan because we don't know if we'll be able to, you know, pay it back and or end up in a situation where we're paying something back for an entity that may or may not frankly exist. There's so many unknowns. So without, you know, being too dismal here. So the notion of a grant to small businesses who kind of slip through the cracks, don't fall into a certain category, aren't feeling confident, you know, for various reasons, I would support, and also support, you know, I don't want to, you know, pit like, oh, we're all about supporting downtown businesses, but what about everybody else? I think that, and I've said this before at another meeting, I feel like I'm pretty confident that the community at large, the Belfast community, is supporting the downtown businesses, but I don't want to just be focused only on business. I want to try to do some real good for everybody, businesses and non-business owners. So, and I think right now, especially with all of the, you know, again, emotion and nerves and stress and all that, that any amount of goodwill, small, medium, large, in between, is what we should be doing, you know, as a city council. And I would support any sort of efforts that can show that we do care, that we're trying, that we're doing what we can. So I'm grateful, Mike, that you brought this up and that it seems like fellow councilors are really looking to support some kind of effort. And then lastly, as long as, you know, all of this is, of course, fiscally appropriate and, you know, we'll be digging deeper into what we can do and how we can do it. But anyway, so that's what I'd like to offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Paul, I saw your hand.
Yeah. I'd like to give this my general support. I think it's a good idea to support businesses and residents in need in the city. I like the idea of the food voucher and a small business loan. But we also need to, we'll be looking to figure out how we can do this and make it happen. So I look forward to working with my fellow councilors to see what we can come up with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And then I'll add my two cents.
So, yes, there are many programs out there. Some have already started to accept applications, and hopefully we'll be funding the applications by Friday. But there are a large number of people who fall between the cracks in terms of these government plans that have been rolled out so far. And these are people who, for the most part, haven't had a paycheck for 3 weeks. And the lucky ones were able to pay their April rent. But we have in this community a very large percentage of people who struggle with food sustainability on a good day in a good economy. And thank goodness the schools are doing the free breakfasts and lunches, because there are 20% plus of the children in this community that would not be eating if it weren't for that. We have school nurses that put together a program where they fill backpacks with food to send home with the children for the weekend so that they'll get some food over the weekend. We have parents who go without proper food so that they can feed their children. And this is one of the most basic needs. And the people who don't file a tax return, who maybe were already unemployed, maybe they don't even have a bank account and are not going to be the people who receive $1,200 from the government per adult and $500 per child. They're not going to receive that benefit. And they're the people who most need benefits like that right now. Bucksport's program, they announced this afternoon, they actually had $175,000 when they got the donor gift added to the town's amount of $115,000. They will be out of the funds by Friday. Yeah. They announced that this afternoon. And a good portion of their plan and what they offered was food coupons. Store coupons to use immediately because of the immediate need. I think it's important that we keep talking about not duplicating something that already exists. And I'm not quite sure we know the answers to all of that right now today. We're getting smarter each day on that. I fully support this to a degree. I know that we have some uncommitted funds in the TIF account, and the TIF account does allow loans to businesses within the TIF framework. So that is one possibility. We do have a certain amount of surplus funds, which we've had conversations about limitations there because we know that revenue streams are going to be disrupted in terms of revenue coming into the city to help us with our own budgeting. The state will have the same issue. I think we have to be very cautious about the number that we pick and discuss taking from surplus for this immediate need. But there is a tremendous amount of need in our community. And people need food. And we can't do anything about increasing affordable housing right this minute. But we can put some food on some people's tables. And try to fill some gaps in terms of business needs to keep from losing some of our very crucial, important, smaller, newer businesses. One of the things is that the applications for the small business applications, they ask for you to compare your employment and your mortgage and your costs from the same time a year ago.
Right.
Some new businesses that weren't in business a year ago. they don't have those statistics to work off of. They're new. And everyone knows that the winter is tough enough in this community to make it through if you're a small business. We already know of one who was in a tough enough situation and has chosen that they have to close down, unfortunately, because they just can't survive two struggles, one on top of the other, being winter, lack of business, and then the virus situation. So there are people and businesses out there that are in great need, and I definitely support us doing something and acting upon this as quickly as we can. We have gotten some direction from the city manager and from the city attorney about limitations in terms of what the charter will allow. But we also have one of our other three economic development organizations. Our Town Belfast is a 501c3 organization. And there was an email, short conversation this afternoon that they might be able to be a local entity that could work with us to get around some of the city charter regulations. All transparent and all legal, but looking around what we can't legally within the city charter. So that's something to think about and add to our conversation. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. So Neil sent out an email to me, just full disclosure, and Mike, a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I was leaving work, and it said two things. It was two questions. What can, as a city, what can we do now, and what can we do later after? And that was almost 2 weeks ago, and I can assure you, most of the small businesses in downtown Belfast closed down or began closing down around March 17th when City Hall hit. So it's now April 7th. That's 3 weeks. And smart money would be on our condition as a civilization in the state remaining somewhat closed, if not all the way closed, through Memorial Day. Because, as we know, it's going to get worse here slowly later than it is in other places around the country.
You've been listening to the Belfast City Council meeting held Tuesday, April 8th, 2020. The recording is not complete. The council meeting went on after this, but we heard about 2.5 hours of it.